الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. We are now going to be beginning page number 24 in the chapter of the new chapter, the description of the prayer in accordance to the Sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we will be led through it by our beloved Sheikh Abu al-Harith Ali Hassan Ali Abdul Hamid al-Halabi حفظه الله فليتفضل مشكورا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، وبعد. قال المصنف رحمه الله: باب صفة الصلاة. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي، رواه البخاري. وهذا الحديث أصل في التأسي بما ورد عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صفة صلاته التي نقلها عنه أصحابه، ثم نقلها عنهم التابعون، وهكذا إلى أن وصلتنا. قال: يستحب أن يأتي إليها بسكينة ووقار، أي دون تعجل ودون إسراع ودون شيء من هذا وذاك، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إذا أتيتم الصلاة فأتوها وعليكم السكينة والوقار، ولا تأتوها وأنتم تسعون، فما أدركتم فصلوا، وما فاتكم فأتموا. قال:
The Sheikh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salah and the salam to our blessed Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and bearing witness that there is no god or deity worthy of any type of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and final messenger. He continued by saying: surely the best of words are the words of Allah, and the worst and the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And surely the worst of all matters in religion are those that are newly innovated or invented. For every newly innovated matter in religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a dhalalah, a misguidance, and every misguidance is deserving of the fire. He continued by saying, قال المصنف, the author of the book, meaning الشيخ عبد الرحمن ناصر السعدي, he states, the description of prayer. The Sheikh pauses and says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered, as is in Sahih al-Bukhari, pray as you have seen me pray. And therefore this is something that is important, and therefore salah was narrated to us by the Sahaba, and the Tabi'een learned it from them, and the Tabi'i Tabi'een, and so forth, until it has reached us intact in the same manner of the Blessed Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first point that is discussed in the book, yustahab, it is preferred for the person who is coming to salah that he comes to it in a state of humbleness and in a state of peacefulness, tranquility, not in a state of hurriedness and not in a state of excessive movement or running or so forth to catch the prayer. And when the person, the Sheikh mentions that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has ordered this by saying, when you come to the salah and to the masjid, that you should come slowly, walking slowly, with sakina, with tranquility, and do not come hurriedly, and whatever you catch of the prayer, you will catch there of it.
قال: فإذا دخل المسجد قال: بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، اللهم اغفر لي ذنوبي وافتح لي أبواب رحمتك، ويقدم رجله اليمنى لدخول المسجد واليسرى للخروج منه، ويقول هذا الذكر، إلا أنه يقول: وافتح لي أبواب فضلك، كما ورد ذلك في الحديث. هنا تنبيهان: التنبيه الأول متعلق بتقديم الرجل اليمنى عند الدخول ورجل اليسرى عند الخروج. صحيح أن هذا لم يرد في السنة، لكن أهل العلم قاسوه على دخول الخلاء، ذلكم أن دخول الخلاء ورد في السنة أنه باليسرى والخروج منه اليمنى، فناسب ذلك أن يكون ما في المسجد عكسه أو عكسه. أما النقطة الثانية فمتعلقة بالدعاء عند الدخول، تقول اللهم إني أسألك اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك، وعند الخروج أن تقول اللهم افتح لي أبواب فضلك. فالمسجد باب من أبواب المغفرة وعمل من صالح الأعمال، فناسب أن تكون سائلا ربك وأنت تدخل المسجد أن تسأله رحمته. وإذا خرجت إلى المسجد للعمل والتجارة والبيع والشراء، فناسب أن تسأل ربك عز وجل من فضله، فهو ذو الفضل وهو الرزاق المتين سبحانه وتعالى.
The Sheikh continued by saying that the author of the book states, when you enter the masjid, you are to say, Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, with the name of Allah, and sending the salah and the salam to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. O Allah, forgive me, forgive my sins, and open to me a door of your mercy. O Allah, forgive my sins, forgive for me my sins, and open for me a door of your mercy. And that the author states that you are to enter with your right foot when you enter the masjid, and that you exit with your left foot when you exit the masjid. And you are to say, when you are leaving the masjid, the same dua as entering it, except instead of saying, O Allah, forgive me, and open to me a door of mercy, you say, O Allah, open for me a door of your fadl, or a door of your graces, or your countenance to me, as has been stated in the hadith. Here the Sheikh pauses and says we must extract two important points. The first of which is, as for the statement of the author that when you enter the masjid it is with the right foot and when you exit it is with the left foot, this is not narrated in any of the hadith. In fact, it is a statement of qiyas, analogy, that is extracted from the hadith of entering the bathroom with your left. The scholars have stated, since there is an authentically reported hadith about entering the bathroom with your left, therefore the opposite of the bathroom in grace and in benefit and in mercy is the masjid. So therefore you enter the masjid in the opposite manner, meaning with your right foot, and you exit it with your left foot. So there is no hadith, and in fact it is an analogy that some of the scholars have stated. The second important point that the Sheikh extracts for us is the importance of the masjid as being a source of gaining Allah's forgiveness. And this is why he says, when you enter the masjid, you ask for Allah's forgiveness. Because when you enter, you are going to be doing worships and ibadat, so you ask Allah to accept your actions so that you will be granted forgiveness. But when you are leaving, and you're going back out into the worldly life where you will be working, earning a living and so forth, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase you from His blessings, His fadl, His blessings and His countenance.
قال فإذا قام إلى الصلاة قال الله أكبر، وهذه ما تسمى تكبيرة الإحرام، فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال عن الصلاة تحريمها التكبير وتحليلها التسليم، ورفع يديه إلى حذو منكبيه أو إلى شحمتي أذنيه، أي قربهما إلى حذو المنكبين أو قرب شحمة الأذن. وبعض الناس يمس شحمة الأذن مسا، وهذا خطأ ولا يعرف في السنة، إنما يكون ذلك بقربهما وحذائهما. في أربعة مواضع عند تكبيرة الإحرام وعند الركوع وعند الرفع منه وعند القيام من التشهد الأول، كما صحت بذلك الأحاديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما هذه فهي أكثر ما ورد، ولكن وردت أمور أخرى ننبه عليها. أما أولها فعند الهوي إلى السجود، ورد في ذلك حديث رواه الإمام النسائي. أما ثانيها ورد رفع اليدين مع كل تكبيرة، وهذا قليل لكن يفعل أحيانا. وأما عند القيام من التشهد الأول فورد من جلوس وورد من قيام، فالمسلم الحريص يفعل ذلك أحيانا عند الجلوس وأحيانا عند القيام والاعتدال.
The Sheikh continued by reading to us, "And when the person stands up to enter into the prayer, he is to say Allahu Akbar, and he is to raise his hands simultaneously, palms facing towards the Qibla, up to the level of his shoulder or his earlobes, from between his shoulder and his earlobes in that region." And the Sheikh mentions that as for people touching their earlobes, this is something that was not done or reported to have been done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the raising of the hands along with the statement of takbir is done in four other places in salah. You are to raise your hands in that same manner between the area of your shoulders and the earlobes when you are entering the salah, as we just described to you, takbiratul ihram, the entrance into salah. At the time you are going to go down into ruku', upon rising from it, and upon standing up from the first tashahud, from the first time you say the tashahud, meaning in between the two sets in a four rak'ah prayer. The two sets, in after the second rak'ah you sit the tashahud, and you are to say, you are to say, pardon? Yes, there is obviously always niyya before salah. We said niyya is in all deeds. Anything you do, amal, you have to make niyya in your heart. No. And wudu, from the beginning of the time you are making wudu, it has been stated that niyya is an integral part of all worship. Here are the four once again. Entrance into the salah, going down into ruku' and rising from it, and standing up from the first tashahud. The Sheikh here pauses and gives us important information by saying that there is also a hadith that states that you can make the takbir before standing up in that tashahud. So you could, while you are still sitting in the tashahud, you could make the takbir and raise your hands and then rise and not move your hands again. So that was practiced by the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He also mentions to us that with every takbir, there is a narration that with every takbir, that there the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make move his hands with the takbir in every part of the prayer. But this is something that is done occasionally. It is not; it wasn't done all the time. And what has been reported are these four situations: entrance into the salah, before going down to ruku', upon rising from ruku', and upon rising from the tashahud. And also, we stated that you are to make it, it can be done in all takbirat. Therefore, those who make raise their hands in between the two sajda, it is using with that hadith.
قال ويضع يده اليمنى على اليسرى تحت سرته أو فوقها أو على صدره، والصواب من هذا أنها على الصدر فقط، وما سوى ذلك من السرة أو فوقها فلا يصح. وحد الصدر هو منتهى الثديين، حد الصدر منتهى الثديين، وإما أن تضع الكفة مبسوطة على الكف الأخرى، أو أن تقبض على الرسغ، أو أن تبسط على الساعد. أما بعض الناس يفعل هذا خطأ، بعض الناس يفعل هذا خطأ، إنما بهذه الصورة، وكل ذلك عند الحد الأدنى للثدي. قال ويقول: سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك. وتعالى جدك أي عظمتك، أي عظمتك، ولا إله غيرك، أو غيره من الاستفتاحات الواردة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كدعاء وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض، كدعاء اللهم نقني من خطاياي كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس، وغيرها. قال: أو غيره من الاستفتاحات الواردة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم يتعوذ ويبسمل، يقول: أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم، أو يزيد فيقول: أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. والهمز والنفخ والنفث كل ذلك ألوان من كيد الشيطان عياذا بالله تبارك وتعالى. وأما عبارة أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فقط فلم ترد في السنة، مع أنها المشهورة بين الناس، وإنما الصواب أن تقول: أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم، أو أن تزيد قائلا: أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. ثم يبسمل. وإذا كانت الفاتحة فإن البسملة فيها تكون سرا، فإن البسملة فيها تكون سرا، كما في حديث أنس أنه قال: صليت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخلف أبي بكر، وخلف عمر وعثمان، فما كانوا يجهرون ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما الاستعاذة ففقط في الركعة الأولى، أما ما يتلوها من الركعات فلا يوجد استعاذة. نعم، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh continued by saying, it has been authentically reported from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to place his right hand over his left hand, and it can be placed under the belly button or the navel, or above it, or on the chest. The Sheikh pauses here and states, the only authentic hadith that are narrated are those where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed it on the chest. And the Sheikh paused and gave you examples, visual, as you have seen, of where the chest region is. The max region, or the lowest part of the chest region, is that where it is parallel, or that where it's near your bosom area, right in the middle. This is where your chest region would be, right on the rib, right on the breastplate of your chest, the breastplate where you feel the bone. That is where you would be making or having your hand, the lowest part of it. And the Sheikh explained that you put your hands in three manners: either the palm of the right hand on top of the back of the left hand, this is one way, or you hold the wrist, this is the second way, the right hand holds the wrist of the left hand, or the right hand holds the forearm of the left hand. As for those who hold their elbows, or who put their hands right under their beards, or at the top of their breastplate, this is not authentically reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after this, the person is to say, after making takbiratul ihram and putting his hands on his chest, he's to begin with the dua of the opening of the prayer. And this, there are different types or different dua that can be made. You may choose any of them that you wish, as long as they are authentically reported from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one that is most famous and known is Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabaraka ismuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. And this is something that is known and has been said by many and reported from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can recite any of them that you wish, as long as they are reported and warid from the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Also, after you have done the istiftah, the opening dua of the prayer, you are to make a ta'awudh. You are to make seeking refuge with Allah from the accursed shaitan. The Shaykh says there is no hadith where the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. He did not say this. He would always say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan, A'udhu billahi sami'il alim minash shaitanir rajim. Or he would say, A'udhu billahi sami'il alim minash shaitanir rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafsihi. And this were the ways that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make the seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan. The hadith, there is no hadith that says he used to only say A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, although this is what many people say. And after making the seeking refuge, and therefore, since there is no authentically reported hadith, we should do what the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say in his dua of seeking refuge. Also, you are to say after Bismillah, and this is to be done in a secretive or a low voice, and then you are to recite Al-Fatiha. And you are to recite the Fatiha in the first two rak'at of a four rak'ah prayer, accompanied with another chapter from the Qur'an. As for the third, recited in the Qur'an.
قال ويقرأ الفاتحة ويقرأ معها في الركعتين الأولين من الرباعية والثلاثية سورة. هنا نقطة، وهي أن قراءة الفاتحة ركن لا تصح الصلاة إلا به، إلا إذا كان القارئ أو الإنسان المسلم مأموما في صلاة جهرية. فالصحيح أن المأموم في الصلاة الجهرية ينصت ولا يقرأ، أما إذا كان إماما أو منفردا أو مأموما في صلاة سرية فلا بد أن يقرأ. وهنا نقطة، أننا عندما نقول الصلاة السرية نقصد بها ما لا يجهر الإمام فيه، كمثل الظهر والعصر أو ثالثة المغرب وركعتي العشاء الأخيرتين. قال ويقرأ معها في الركعتين الأوليين من الرباعية والثلاثية سورة. فنقول نعم هذا هو الأصل، أو ما تيسر، لا تكون سورة، قد تكون جزءا من سورة. ويجوز أحيانا بل يسن قراءة هذه السورة أو هذا الذي تيسر من القرآن في الركعة الأخيرة من الثلاثية أو الركعتين الأخيرتين من الرباعية، هذا ورد في السنة أحيانا. قال تكون في الفجر من طوال المفصل، القراءة في الركعات الأولى تكون في الفجر من طوال المفصل، والمفصل هي السور التي تبدأ من سورة قاف والذاريات إلى آخر المصحف، وسميت المفصل لأن فيها فواصل كثيرة، أي آيات قصيرة ومفصلة. وفي المغرب من قصاره، أي قصار المفصل أيضا. وفي الباقي يعني الظهر والعصر والعشاء من أوساطه، أي أوساط المفصل. قال يجهر في القراءة ليلا ويسر بها نهارا. أرى أن هذا خطأ، لأننا في صلاة الفجر، في صلاة المغرب والعشاء نجهر في أول ركعتين، ولا نجهر في ثالثة المغرب أو في آخر ركعتين من العشاء. إذن أين أن نقول يجهر ليلا؟ وإنما الأصل أن نقول صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام جهر في جزء من الصلاة ولم يجهر في جزء آخر، فدل ذلك على أن هذا الصنيع هو الذي ينبغي أن يكون. أما إطلاق القول بالجهر ليلا هذا غير صحيح بدليل أننا نسر في الليل ثالثة المغرب وآخر ركعتين من العشاء. قال ويسر بها نهارا إلا الجمعة والعيدين والكسوف والاستسقاء فإنه يجهر. أيضا هذا الجهر في هذه الصلوات النهارية إنما لما ورد في السنة النبوية. قال ثم يكبر للركوع ويضع يديه على ركبتيه ويجعل رأسه حيال ظهره أي مستويا مع ظهره. وبعض الناس يخفض رأسه في الركوع وظهره كثيرا وبعض الناس يرفعه. والصواب أن يكون الأمر زاوية قائمة ما استطعنا إلى ذلك سبيلا، أن يكون الإنسان وهو راكع زاوية قائمة هكذا، كما في بعض الروايات أن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يركع ويستوي قائما ويستوي ظهره في ركوعه حتى لو صب الماء على ظهره لاستقر، وهذا لا يكون إلا في صلاة أو في الركوع المستوي القائم به، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh continued by saying, "You are to recite the Fatiha as we have discussed with you, and you are to recite it in all of the four rak'at." The Sheikh pauses here and states, if you are being led in salah, in a salah that the reciter is reading in a loud voice, like Salatul Fajr, or the first two rak'at of Salatul Maghrib, or the first two rak'at of Salatul Isha, in those rak'at themselves, not the whole prayer of Isha, because the last two are different, you would have to listen and you would not read along. You would not be required to read the Fatiha yourself. But any time the Imam is silent, whether in Salatul Dhuhr or Asr or the last Raka'ah of Maghrib or the last Raka'at, two prostrations of Isha, you are required to read Surah Al-Fatiha. The Sheikh continues by saying, in Salatul Fajr, he is reading to us from the book that in Salatul Fajr, you are to choose surahs from the Mufassal to accompany Surah Al-Fatiha, meaning surahs from Surah Qaf down to the end of the Qur'an. You should choose surahs from this section, from Surah Qaf all the way to the end of the Qur'an. In Salatul Maghrib, you are to choose the short surahs to be led in prayer. In the rest of the prayers, meaning Salatul Dhuhr, Salatul Asr, and Salatul Isha, you are to choose from the middle of the Mufassal, from the middle part of Surah Qaf all the way to the end of the Qur'an. You can choose what you wish. The Sheikh here says in the book, we always recite during night time in a loud voice. Here the Sheikh takes exception by saying, the only reason that we recite in a loud voice is because it is the Sunnah of the Rasul ﷺ. But we do not recite in a loud voice in all of the Raka'at. So therefore this statement is not precise. And therefore the Sheikh says it is a khata. This statement, it's not precise, it cannot be left a blank, open, general statement that we recite in a loud voice in night prayers, meaning in the Fajr before the sun has risen, or Maghrib and Isha. Because in Maghrib, we do not recite in the third rak'ah in a loud voice. In the last two rak'ahs of Isha, we do not recite in a loud voice. The Sheikh continues by saying, and in the morning or in the daylight hours, we recite in a low voice. And therefore also the Sheikh takes exception to this. He says, you recite in a low voice except for the prayers of Jumu'ah, the two Eid prayers, the Kusuf, meaning the eclipse, when the sun is eclipsed, or the moon, there's an eclipse, and Al-Istisqa, the prayer of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. These prayers, Jumu'ah, the two Eids, the Kusuf, the Istisqa, these prayers, they are not recited in a low voice, you recite in a loud voice. فَإِنَّهُ يَجْهَرْ You recite in a loud voice. And then, when you are reciting, after you recited Al-Fatiha, and you've recited another surah, the Sheikh also gives this another important point, that in the third and fourth rak'ah, for example, of Salat al-Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha, or the third rak'ah of Salat al-Maghrib, you do not only have to recite al-Fatiha. You can also, at times, if you wish, it is authentically reported in the Sunnah, that the Rasul ﷺ would recite another surah along with Fatiha. Meaning, it doesn't only have to be just al-Fatiha. The Sheikh continues by saying, after you recited the Fatiha and another surah, if it is applicable, you say, Allahu Akbar, you make the takbir, and you fall down in the ruku'a. You go to the bowing position. And you place your hands on top of your knees. You grasp your knees. And you cause and you leave your head to be equal on the same plane as your back. You do not put your head down and you do not put your head up. Meaning that it is a 90 degree angle. Here are your feet, here's your back, and your head is equal at a 90 degree angle. So therefore it is all symmetrical. And this is what was reported by the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They would report from him that when he was in his ruku'ah, if you were to put a cup and fill it with water, the water would not splash one way or another. It would remain leveled, at a level plane.
قال ويقول سبحان ربي العظيم ويكرره أقله ثلاث مرات والركن الركوع وأما الذكر فواجب فمن أدرك الركوع مطمئنا به ولو لم يسبح أي تسبيحة فركعته صحيحة. قال وإن قال مع ذلك في ركوعه وسجوده سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي فحسن من باب الأدعية المطلقة ثم يرفع رأسه قائلا سمع الله لمن حمده إن كان إماما أو منفردا وأقول أو مأمون من أو مأموما فكلمة سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد يقولها المأموم والإمام فإذا قال الإمام سمع الله لمن حمده أنت تقول سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد. أما حديث إنما جعل الإمام ليتم به فإذا كبر فكبروا وإذا قال سمع الله لمن حمده فقولوا ربنا ولك الحمد فالمقصود منه بيان الترتيب وليس المقصود منه أن يقول الإمام كذا ولا تقول أنت مثله أو أن تقول أنت كذا ولا يقول الإمام مثله إنما المقصود أن تقول ما يقول الإمام. نسأل هل الإمام يقول ربنا ولك الحمد أم لا يقول؟ يقول والحديث ليس فيه هذا. إذن في هذا بيان أن الأمر متعلق بالترتيب وليس متعلقا بالحصر. ثم الأصل أن نقول سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا لك الحمد أو ربنا ولك الحمد. ربنا لك الحمد أو ربنا ولك الحمد. ويسن أن تزيد قائلا ربنا لك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ملء السماوات. وسيأتي ذلك بعد قليل عند المصنف. أما أن نزيد بغير حجة مثلا كثير من الناس في بلادنا يقولون ربنا لك الحمد والشكر فهذه الزيادة لا أصل لها فإما أن تزيد زيادة تكون صحيحة في السنة أو أن لا تزيد.
The Sheikh continues by saying, and then when you are in your ruku'ah, you say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And you repeat it. The minimum time that you are to repeat it is 3. The Sheikh points out that the ruku'ah is rukn of salah. The bowing, it is a rukn of salah. While the ruku'ah, it is a rukn of the salah. While the dhikr in it, you saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, it is wajib. It is not considered a rukn of the salah. وَإِنْ قَالَ, and if you say in your ruku'ah instead of Subhana Rabbi al-Azim only, if you say Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana وَبِحَمْدِكْ Allahumma اغْفِرْلِ, that is also permitted and that is also good. You can also, upon rising from the ruku', you are to say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. Here the Shaykh pauses, here the Shaykh continues in reading, that this is to be done by the Imam, or the one who is praying alone, that he is to say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. The Shaykh adds and states, also the person who is led in prayer must say these same words. Just like how you say Allahu Akbar when the Imam says Allahu Akbar, you are also required to repeat what he repeats here, which is سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. You, being led in prayer, must also say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, and so forth, to whichever dua that you will be making. The Shaykh points out, you are not permitted to increase in something in the dua of the Rasul ﷺ that is not already there. In some places, the Shaykh says, in our lands, there are people who say, رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَالشُّكْرُ. To you, O Allah, is all praise and thanks. And this word, shukr, although it may sound nice, we thank you, O Allah, it is not from the sunnah of the Rasul ﷺ, and therefore it is not to be done or performed.
قال ويقول أيضا ربنا ولك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ملء السماء وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. وهذا كما قلنا الصيغة الأكمل, وإلا يجوز أن تقتصر على قولك ربنا ولك الحمد أو ربنا لك الحمد. ثم يسجد على أعضائه السبعة كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, أمرت أن أسجد على سبعة أعضاء, على الجبهة وأشار بيده إلى أنفه والكفين والركبتين وأطراف القدمين, متفق عليه. وهنا نقطة, وهي أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال لا صلاة لمن لم يمكن جبهته وأنفه من الأرض, فالأصل تمكين الجبهة والأنف. وبعض الناس يسجد على أول رأسه ولا يسجد على تمام الجبهة أو على الأنف, هذا قد يخشى على صلاته من البطلان. قال متفق عليه, أي هذا الحديث, ويقول سبحان ربي الأعلى ثم يكبر. وهنا نقطة, أن سبحان ربي الأعلى وسبحان ربي العظيم وردت بهذه الصيغة, ووردت بصيغة أخرى وهي سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده, أو سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده, فيجوز هذا ويجوز هذا. وإذا صليت بذلك مرة وبغيره مرة أخرى فلا شك أن الجمع فيما وردت به السنة أفضل من الاقتصار على شيء دون بعض. قال ويجلس على رجله اليسرى وينصب اليمنى وهو الافتراش. وجميع جلسات الصلاة افتراش إلا في التشهد الأخير, فإنه يتورك بأن يجلس على الأرض ويخرج رجله اليسرى من الخلف الأيمن. يقول التشهد الأخير الذي يقصده المصنف هو ما كان ثلاثيا أو رباعيا, أما ما كان ثنائيا فلا, إنما هو افتراش أيضا. إذن التورك في الجلسة الأخيرة أو في التشهد الأخير من الصلاة الرباعية أو الثلاثية, أما الصلاة الثنائية فرضا كانت أو سنة فليس فيها تورك.
The Shaykh continued by saying, after you say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, the most complete statement that you can make is رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ حَمْدًا كَثِيرًا طَيِّبًا مُبَارَكًا فِيهِ مِلْءَ السَّمَاءِ وَمِلْءَ الْأَرْضِ وَمِلْءَ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدِ. This is the most complete dua that the Rasul ﷺ used to say. Then after this you say اللَّهُ أَكْبَر, and you descend and make your sujood on the seven parts, as has been narrated in the authentically reported hadith of the Rasul ﷺ, which is agreed upon. I have been ordered to prostrate while establishing myself on seven parts, on seven pieces of bone. And they are the forehead including the nose, as he indicated by pointing to his nose sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his forehead, and the two palms of my hand, and my two knees, and the tips of my feet, meaning the ball of the foot of his feet, the balls of the foot of his feet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith is agreed upon. And he also says in another hadith, the one who does not place his forehead and nose on the ground in his sujood properly, there is no salah to be counted for him. So therefore it is an important act to be done and performed properly. And when you are in this place of sujood, you should say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Or you can increase, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi, as has been done and reported authentically in the Sunnah. Then you make takbir and you rise out of this by sitting down. And the way you sit down is called al-iftirash. The way you sit in the in between the two sajda, it is by sitting on top of your left foot and establishing your right foot beside you. Sitting on your left foot and raising up or establishing the right foot beside you. And this type of sitting in the salah, it is to be done in all times that you are sitting on the ground, except in the final tashahud. Except in the final tashahud of a 3 or a 4 rak'ah prayer. Except in the final tashahud of a 3 or a 4 rak'ah prayer. Meaning, Salatul Dhuhr, Salatul Asr, Salatul Maghrib, or Salatul Isha, in the final tashahud of that 3 or 4 rak'ah prayer. In the final tashahud, you are to sit by sitting on your left buttocks, the left side of your buttocks, putting your left foot from under your right foot, meaning you are leaning, established, sitting on your left buttocks, and your right foot and your left foot are to the right side of you. And this is called a tawarruk. And this is to be done in the final tashahud of a 3 or a 4 rak'ah prayer only. No. You want to see how it's done, you mean? Can someone demonstrate how it is done? Our elder? No. That is considered a tawarruk. That is considered a tawarruk. That is considered a tawarruk. Where the left foot is under the shin of the right foot and the right foot is established. Now show us al-iftirash.
Good.
Such is al-iftirash. Now. In the end, inshallah. Yeah. Now.
We will wait, inshallah. قال ويقول رب اغفر لي وارحمني واهدني وارزقني واجبرني وعافني ثم يسجد الثانية كالأولى. هذا الدعاء بين السجدتين, بين كل سجدتين في الصلاة. قال ثم ينهض مكبرا على صدور قدميه. والصحيح أن هذا غير ثابت, وإنما الثابت والصحيح الاعتماد على اليدين عند الرفع من السجود كما هو عند الهوي إلى السجود. عند الهوي إلى السجود تهوي معتمدا على يديك, وعند الرفع من السجود إلى الركعة التالية أيضا تعتمد على يديك, ولكن تعتمد عليهما مقبوضتين كأنك تعجل كالعجل. قال ويصلي الركعة الثانية كالأولى ثم يجلس للتشهد الأول. وصفته التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات, السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته, السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. هنا تنبيهان, أن عددا من الصحابة بعد وفاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صاروا يقولون السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. أما الثاني أو التنبيه الثاني, أن السنة قد وردت بذكر الصلاة الإبراهيمية بعد التشهد، وإنما هذا على الجواز لا على الوجوب. وبعض الناس يمنعون مطلقا وبعض الناس يوجبون مطلقا، والصواب الذي ينشرح له صدري أن ذلك على التوسط، أن تفعل حينا وأن تترك حينا. قال: ثم يقوم لبقية صلاته، أي الركعة الثالثة والرابعة، ويقتصر في الذي بعد التشهد أي الأوسط على الفاتحة، وهذا من باب الجواز أيضا، وإلا قد ورد في السنة أن ذلك أيضا يفعل، أي أن تقرأ سورة، أن يقرأ بعد الفاتحة شيء من القرآن، سورة أو ما تيسر، ثم يتشهد في الجلوس الأخير وهو المذكور قبلا، ويقول أيضا: اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وهذا الدعاء وارد في صيغ متعددة، منها هذه الصيغة التي ذكرها المصنف، ومنها صيغة أخرى مشهورة وهي قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، عفوا، في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. فهذا وارد وهذا وارد، وهناك غيره. قال: أعوذ بالله من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال. ورد في طبعة الكتاب إلحاق هذا الدعاء بالصلاة الإبراهيمية، وهذا خطأ، هو ليس من الصلاة الإبراهيمية وإن كان يتلوها ويعقبها، فالصواب أن هذا دعاء مستقل. وهذا الدعاء ورد به الأمر من النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، قال: استعيذ بالله من أربع، ثم ذكرها. قد كان بعض أهل العلم كطاووس اليماني رحمه الله إذا رأى ولده لا يستعيذ بالله من أربع أمره أن يعيد صلاته، أمره أن يعيد صلاته، وهذا لبيان أهمية هذا الدعاء. قال: ويدعو بما أحب، ويدعو بما أحب، يدعو بما فتح الله عليه من خير الدنيا والآخرة، ثم يسلم عن يمينه وعن يساره: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. والتسليم أربع صيغ، التسليم أربع صيغ، الصيغة المشهورة: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الصيغة الثانية: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الصيغة الثالثة: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، السلام عليكم. الصيغة الرابعة: السلام عليكم فقط، وهكذا: السلام عليكم، السلام عليكم. الصيغة الثلاثة السابقة لابد فيها من لفت الوجه يمينا وشمالا، قل: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بعض الناس يفعل هكذا: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، يريد أن يرى خده، هذا خطأ. الحديث: يرى بياض خده، أي يراه من خلفه، لا أن يرى هو بياض خده، هذا لا يكون. لذلك بعض الناس يفعل: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، السلام عليكم. هذا خطأ، هذا خطأ، إنما يقول: السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، السلام عليكم. نعم، الله أعلم.
The Sheikh continues by saying, when you are sitting in your, after you have made your sitting, you are to say in between the sujood, when you are in between the sujood, you've come out of the first sujood and you're sitting in your iftirash position, you say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي وَاهْدِنِي وَارْزُقْنِي وَاجْبُرْنِي وَعَافِنِي. And this is a dua that was known from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, then you return to the sujood one more time after making takbir. You say Allahu Akbar, and in each of the movements of the salah, you are to make takbir, except when you rise out of al-ruku', you say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. So, you return by saying Allahu Akbar, and you turn to your second sujood, which is in the same way that you have done your first sujood, meaning you rest on the seven parts of your body that are known. And then you rise out of your second sujood mukabbiran, making takbir. Here the Sheikh says that when you rise, you should not touch the ground with your hands. The Sheikh, hafidhahullah, Sheikh Al-Halabi explains, in fact it is the opposite. you should put, and this is what is authentically reported from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you have your fists clenched as if you were a baker who presses dough. As if you were a baker who presses dough. And you push on top, or you push with your clenched fist on the ground to support you in rising out of the sujood. And then you continue with the rest of your prayer, praying the rak'ah that you stand up for, in the same manner that you prayed the first rak'ah. Then you sit down for the tashahud. After you've done your second rak'ah, you are sitting now, and you are in the sitting of al-iftirash, and you are sitting, and you are in your tashahud. Here the Shaykh gives the tashahud, you say, التحياتُ لله, and the Shaykh recited it. You can hear him recite it to you. والصلواتُ والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. The Shaykh here paused and gave us two important points. Here in this hadith, while the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was living, the Sahaba used to say, As-salamu alayka, peace be to you, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ayyuhan nabi, because he was living. After he had passed away, many of the Sahaba, they began saying, As-salamu ala nabi, peace be to the Prophet, not upon the Prophet, or directly to him, because he had passed away. So they would say, As-salamu ala nabi, instead of alayka ayyuhan nabi. So that's one important point that the Shaykh gave. He also states that if one wishes to say Allah, the Salah al-Ibrahimiyyah, meaning sending the Salah to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family, and sending the Salah to Ibrahim and his family by saying Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad to the end, this can be done also in the first tashahud. Some people have stated it must be done, others have stated it should never be done. In fact, it is what is in the middle course, where it can be done if you wish, and it can be done at times and left out at times. Then you finish the regular prayer as you have been taught, each rak'ah to be done as you have been shown, each sujood to be done as shown, or each ruku' and then each sujood as done as shown and has been explained previously. And then you are to say the tashahud in the final julus, in the final tashahud, while you are sitting in your tawarruk, you are to say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala ali Ibrahim wa ala innaka hamidun majid wa barak ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Here the Shaykh points out in the book they have a publishing error where they included a dua which is valid to be done at the end of the salah, yet it is not considered from the salah al-Ibrahimiyyah, which is a'udhu billah min adhab jahannam wa min adhab al-qabr wa min fitnat al-mahya wal mamat wa min fitnat al-masih ad-dajjal. This is something, these four things you are to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you refuge from. To seek refuge in Allah, with Allah, from Jahannam, from the punishment of the grave, from the fitna of life and death, and from the fitna of Al-Masih Al-Dajjal, the Dajjal. These things you are asked to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you from, and to give you refuge from. The Shaykh points out that it came to the point that some of the scholars from the Mtawus, if he saw one of his sons not make these four asking refuge in these four, from these four things, he would tell his son, his own son, to redo his prayer so that he would get the reward of having said it in salah. So therefore it is something that is important and should be done. And after you make the dua, you make Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and then later on you make I seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the grave and from the fire and so forth to the end, you make the dua that you wish. Whatever you wish to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, you make it in that position while you are still in your salah, and then you make the salam on your right and on your left by saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. The Shaykh here pauses once again, Hafidhahullah, by giving us the four narrated types of salam from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first of which is to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the right and assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the left. The second is to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the right and to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the left. The third, it is to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the assalamu alaykum and assalamu alaykum without saying wa rahmatullah or wa rahmatullah. I know. Saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah and saying assalamu alaykum. So okay, let me repeat the four. You were to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the right, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the left. The second type, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the right and assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the left. The third one is to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah and to say assalamu alaykum to the left. Or, and fourth, or finally, assalamu alaykum, assalamu alaykum. Assalamu alaykum once. Naam. Naam. And it's important, and in the fourth one, it is to say assalamu alaykum once. Here the Shaykh also points out that you are to make, when you are doing your salam, there's a hadith that says that the whiteness of his cheeks, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be seen when he would say assalamu alaykum. This means to be seen by the people who are praying behind him, not by him seeing his own whiteness. So you do not look and try to see the whiteness of your own, you don't look excessively. So it's just so that your hand turns so that you are looking parallel or away from you in a manner that the people behind you can see your cheek, and the people on your left can see your cheek. You do not turn your neck all the way around, as the Shaykh has explained and showed you in his vivid example. Now.
قال والأركان القولية من المذكورات يعني سابقا تكبيرة الإحرام وهي ركن وقراءة الفاتحة على غير مأموم أي إمام أو منفرد وكذلك المأموم كما قلنا بشرط أن يكون في صلاة سرية أما فيما يجهر به فيقرأ فتكون قراءة الإمام مغنية عن قراءته والتشهد الأخير والسلام هذه كلها أركان وباقي أفعالها أركان فعلية إلا التشهد الأول فإنه من واجبات الصلاة كالتكبيرات والتكبيرات أيضا من الواجبات غير تكبيرة الإحرام وقول سبحان ربي العظيم في الركوع وسبحان ربي الأعلى مرة في السجود. أما تكبيرة الإحرام فنعم ركن. أما قول سبحان ربي العظيم في الركوع وسبحان ربي الأعلى في السجود فالصواب أنهما واجبان، وإنما الركن هو الركوع نفسه أو السجود ذاته. ورب اغفر لي بين السجدتين مرة مرة هذه أيضا واجبة، وما زاد فهو مسنون. وقول سمع الله لمن حمده للإمام والمنفرد، وربنا لك الحمد للكل. وبينا من قبل أن قول سمع الله لمن حمده كذلك يقوله المأموم. قال فهذه الواجبات تسقط بالسهو ويجبرها سجوده، تسقط أي لا يجب إعادتها، ويجبر هذا السهو سجود السهو. إذا سقط أو إذا نسي العبد وسهى عن بعض هذه فإنها تسقط عنه، ولكن يجب أن يسد نقصه بماذا؟ بسجود السهو. قال والأركان لا تسقط سهوا ولا جهلا ولا عمدا. الأركان لا تسقط سهوا ولا جهلا ولا عمدا، والواجبات والسنن تسقط ولا تؤثر في الصلاة ويجبرها السهو. وهنا قاعدة، وهي أن قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي فيه الإشارة إلى كل ما ورد في الصلاة وأنه واجب، إلا ما ورد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تركه أو فعله تارة وتركه تارة، فهذا لا يكون واجبا وإنما يكون مستحبا. قال والباقي سنن أقوال وأفعال مكمل للصلاة. نعم.
Here the Sheikh in his book lists the arkan of spoken things in the salah. Things that are spoken that must be done, or rukn of salah. The takbir of al-ihram, entrance into the prayer. The recitation of al-fatiha for the one who is not, for the one who is leading the prayer, unless the person who is being led, it is in the third or the fourth rak'ah, or it is of Isha or Maghrib, or it is a low prayer, meaning like Dhuhr or Asr, the person being led also must read Al-Fatiha. Also, the final tashahud, the final At-Tahiyyatullah, Salawatu At-Tayyibat, and so forth, and saying As-Salam to exit the prayer. As for the actions that are required or that are prerequisite from active actions, not of statements, is to do the tashahud, except for, they are anything except for the first tashahud, for it is wajib, it is from the wajib, it is not from the requirements. And the takbirat, saying the takbirs, except for the first takbir, which is obviously rukn. Also, the statements of Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in the ruku' and Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, the Sheikh says these are wajib, but the action of ruku' and the action of sujood itself is rukn. The action of ruku' and the action of sujood, it is a rukn. While the statements that are made or the dhikr that is made, it is only wajib. Also the statement of Rabbighfirli in between, to the end of the dua, in between the two sajda, it is also something that is that should be done. Anything other than this, therefore it is deemed sunnah, masnoon. Like the statements of Sami' Allahu liman hamida, for the imam and for the one who is led in prayer and for the one who is leading himself. And the statement of Rabbana lakal hamd, also for the imam, for the ma'moom, and for the one who is leading himself in prayer. These are from the wajibat. These are requirements that if one forgets to do or does not do, they must not be repeated, but sahw is in order. The sahw prostration is in order. If these things are not done or not spoken, these dhikr are not made, the person must make sahw, although he does not have to go and redo the rak'ah or redo the prayer. As for the arkan, any of the requirements or the prerequisites, if they are not met, meaning if the person doesn't recite the Fatiha or doesn't make the Takbiratul Ihram or doesn't make the Tashahud or so forth, therefore it is required that he return and redo it in the Salah, whether he had forgotten to do it or had intended not to do it. The Sahw is not enough. He would have to redo that part. And anything else, it is considered from the sunan of the aqwal or the af'al that are completive or complete the salah in proper order.
ثم قال المصنف رحمه الله والباقي سنن أقوال عفوا ومن أركانها الطمأنينة في جميع أركانها في كل ركن من أركان الصلاة يجب الطمأنينة وهي إعطاء الركن حقه وعدم التعجل به أو الاستعجال فيه. وعن أبي هريرة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فأسبغ الوضوء أي أتمه إتماما لا نقص فيه، ثم استقبل القبلة فكبر، ثم اقرأ ما تيسر معك من القرآن، ثم اركع حتى تطمئن راكعا، ثم ارفع حتى تعتدل قائما، ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا، ثم ارفع حتى تطمئن جالسا، ثم اسجد حتى تطمئن ساجدا، ثم افعل ذلك في صلاتك كلها. متفق عليه. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي. متفق عليه. هنا فائدتان، نبتدئ بالثانية وهي أن حديث صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي إنما رواه البخاري فقط. وأما الفائدة الأولى فهي أن حديث أبي هريرة هذا رضي الله تعالى عنه هو الحديث المشهور بحديث المسيء صلاته، وهذا كان صحابيا اسمه خلاد بن رافع، دخل على المسجد ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس مع أصحابه، فصلى ثم جاء يسلم: السلام عليك يا رسول الله. فقال له النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: وعليك السلام، ارجع فصلي فإنك لم تصلي. فرجع فصلى، ثم عاود: السلام عليك يا رسول الله. قال: وعليك السلام، ارجع فصلي فإنك لم تصلي. ثم رجع المرة الثالثة صلى: السلام عليك يا رسول الله. قال: ارجع فصلي فإنك لم تصلي. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام، فقال هذا الرجل للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: والله يا رسول الله لا أحسن غير هذا، فعلمني. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إذا قمت إلى الصلاة فأسبغ الوضوء، ثم استقبل القبلة فكبر، إلى آخر الحديث. قال: فإذا فرغ من صلاته استغفر ثلاثا. وصيغة الاستغفار أن يقول: رب اغفر لي، رب اغفر لي، رب اغفر لي. وقال: اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. ها هنا بعض الناس يزيد زيادة: تباركت وتعاليت. كلمة وتعاليت لا أصل لها في السنة، فما يقول: لا إله إلا الله والحمد لله والله أكبر 33، ويقول: لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، تمام 100. أقول: إما أن يقول: لا إله إلا الله والحمد لله والله أكبر 33 وحدها، وإما أن يقول: سبحان الله والحمد لله والله أكبر 33، ثم يجعل تمام 100 لا إله إلا الله. قال: والرواتب المؤكدة التابعة للمكتوبات 10، أي 10 صلوات، وهي المذكورة في حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنه قال: حفظت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 ركعات، ركعتين قبل الظهر، وركعتين بعدهما، وركعتين بعد المغرب في بيته، وركعتين بعد العشاء في بيته، وركعتين قبل صلاة الصبح. متفق عليه. في هذا الحديث أو في هذه المسألة إفادتان: أما الأولى أنه قد ورد قبل الظهر وبعده 40، وهو قول، وهو ما ورد عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام من فعله، أنه كان يصلي قبل الظهر 4 وبعد الظهر 4، والأصل في هذه الأربع أن تكون 2 2، لقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: صلاة الليل والنهار مثنى مثنى، صلاة الليل والنهار مثنى مثنى. أما الأمر الثاني فقبل المغرب، يسن قبل المغرب أن يصلي ركعتين، لقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام: صلوا قبل المغرب ركعتين، لكنه قال: لمن شاء لمن شاء. وفي هذا القدر كفاية. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
The Sheikh continued by saying, and also from the requirements or the arkan of salah at-tumanina, to be in a state of tranquility in all of the movements that you make in the salah. As has been, and what is intended by tumanina is that you give every part of the salah its deserved right. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه وأرضاه, he states that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Shaykh narrated to us the hadith from its beginning, so I will do so. It is the hadith that there is a person from the Sahama named who came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وهو, he is the one who prayed the prayer improperly. Khalad ibn Rafi'. Khalad ibn Rafi'. He came as the Rasul sallallahu, while the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his companions. And he began and he prayed a salah, and then he came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, As-salamu alaykum. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Wa alaykum as-salam, but told him, go back and pray, for you have not prayed. So Khalad ibn Rafi' returned, prayed, and returned back to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after having prayed in the same manner, and the Rasul answered his salam and told him, go back and pray. You have not prayed properly. So he went back and prayed in the same manner once again. And finally, the third time he came, and then he said to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me, for I do not know how to pray any better than I was praying. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you stand for salah, make sure that you make a good wudu, and turn towards the qibla, and say takbir, and make takbir, or the takbiratul ihram, and then recite what you have been given from the Quran, meaning al-fatiha and whatever else you wish to recite. And then make your ruku' until you are in a state of tranquility in it. You go into the ruku' and then you remain in it until you have reached the state of peacefulness. And then you rise from the ruku' and you stand completely straight. And then you go into sujood until you are in a state of tranquility in it. And then you go into a state, and then you go, you rise from the ruku' and you become in a state of tranquility, and then you go into sujood, and then you remain in a state of tranquility, and then you rise and you sit from your sujood until you have a state of tranquility, and then you turn back into your second sujood, and then you rise and you pray that prayer in a state of tranquility and ease and peacefulness. Meaning you don't go up and down in a state of hurried movement. Your movements are slow in the salah. And that hadith is muttafaqun alayh. And also the Shaykh narrates a hadith where he says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي, pray as you have seen me pray, which is narrated by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari only, although the Shaykh in the book, it is stated muttafaqun alayh. In fact, it is not agreed upon, it is only in Bukhari. We continue by saying that when the person has finished from his salah, he is to make istighfar three times. Astaghfirullah, 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 three times. And he is to say, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. And nowadays people have added, after tabarakt, they say, wa ta'alayt. And this is not from the statements of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is tabarakt, ya dhal jalali wal ikram. La ilaha illallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar, 33 times. Here the Shaykh says, when you are making your tasbih of la ilaha illallah, or subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, you can say it, say the whole sentence, or say all of these takbirs together 33 times. So you wouldn't have to say subhanallah 33 times by itself, alhamdulillah 33 times by itself. You can join all of them and say them all together just 33 times. And in the end you complete it by saying, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, to complete the 100. So 33, 33, 33 in each one that you are repeating. And you can complete it by saying, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. And this is where the Shaykh has stopped with us today. He will continue tomorrow with some of his discussion. We will now leave. And the Shaykh continues. The Shaykh continues also by asking me to complete to the end of the page. In it, it is also discussed that the rawatib, some of the sunan that are to be done after the salah, such as are reported from Abdullah ibn Umar, that there were 10 prostrations or 10 other prayer or 10 other raka'at that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray that were sunan, known as rawatib, meaning something always done by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from them, what has been memorized is that he used to pray 2 raka'at before Salatul Dhuhr, and 2 raka'at after, and 2 raka'at after Maghrib, and 2 raka'at after Al-Isha, and 2 before Al-Fajr. The Shaykh also mentions that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also been known to have prayed 4 before Dhuhr, and 4 after Dhuhr.
And in the manner of praying these sunan, it is important, the Sheikh points out, that you know that they are to be done two and two. Two and two. They're not to be done all four together. As the Rasulullah ﷺ has said, when you pray the days or the nights, you're praying your individual voluntary prayers. It's to be done two and two, not to be done all four together. Also, the Sheikh mentions that the Rasulullah ﷺ has said, you can pray two raka'at before al-Maghrib, for he whom wills. Whoever wishes to pray the two raka'at sunnah before Maghrib, may do so, inshaAllah ta'ala. I have the first question for the Sheikh. بالنسبة للعشر ركعات المروية هل يوجد حديث عن 12 ركعة مقصود من الصلوات مش لل
طبعا في حديث من صلى الساعة ترك
نعم طيب تفضل نعم. The Sheikh says, we mentioned that his rajah, the rajah for Surah Al-Fatiha, if you are being led in a loud prayer, that you remain silent and hear the Imam reciting. نعم. نعم. The Sheikh says, in that question, there have been volumes that have been written as to which side is most correct. So therefore, if we were to sit and discuss it, we can sit and discuss it for 10 separate lectures. But since it is something that is of a higher level, we will leave it, and he will say that the concluding remark, he says, that what he sees as being the most correct is that you listen to what the Imam is reciting. When he is not reciting, you recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Now. نعم السؤال الأول لو الواحد هيصلي منفردا يجب عليه أن يؤذن ويقيم الصلاة the first question if you are going to be praying alone do you have to make adhan and diqama the sheikh says it is sunnah and it is not required السؤال الثاني يسأل حين نسمع المؤذن يقول حي على الصلاة يجب علينا أن نقول حي على الصلاة ولا لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله
إنما تقول لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله
When you hear the muadhin saying "Hayya ala salah," you are only required to say "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." You do not have to repeat what his statement is in that part. Naam, Ya'is. يسأل يقول بالنسبة للسنن الرواتب تسن في البيت هل هذا دائما نعم يقول لو هو خارج الحج أو العمرة هل يترك الحرم ويذهب للهوتيل أو الفندق أو يصلي في المسجد
الأفضل إذا كان لم يكن فيه في شيء يدخل
الحرم والأصل من هذا الدين فقط الصلاة نعم The Sheikh answers the question by saying For the one who has prayed his prayers, if he has the ability to return to his home to make the sunnah prayer, that he is to make the sunnah prayers in his home, this is what the asla is, what should be done. The person is to pray the sunnah prayers in his home. The brother was asking also, if I'm going for Hajj or Umrah, and I'm there in the Haram, should I be leaving the Haram to go and pray, even if it's in the hotel? The Sheikh says, if there's nothing to keep you in the Haram, and you are on your way, it would be better for you to pray in the hotel, because this is the sunnah of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now.
يقول أن الشيخ الألباني في كتاب صفة الصلاة أن التورك يكون في الجلوس الأول أو في التشهد الأول
لم يقل الشيخ يقول تشهد التكبير من الركعة الأخيرة من
المغرب العشاء. هذا لا أذكر. The sheikh is saying return to the book because he feels that you may have read it in error. No. طيب. نعم. السؤال طيب.
السنة في الصلاة في القيام الأول القبض، وأما القيام الثاني فلا يوجد دليل صريح في القبض، واختلف فيها أهل العلم، والذي ينشرح له الصدر عدم ذلك. وهنالك حديث في صحيح مسلم من حديث وائل بن حجر رضي الله عنه فيه وصفه لصلاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وصفا دقيقا، ذكر تكبيرة الإحرام ورفع اليدين والقبض على الصدر والقراءة والتكبير للركوع ورفع اليدين والرفع من الركوع والتسميع والتحميد، ولم يذكر القبض بعد الركوع كما ذكره قبل الركوع. وهذا حديث مفصل، فلو كان القبض بعد الركوع واردا كما هو وارد قبل الركوع لنقله في الموضع الثاني كما نقله في الموضع الأول. والله أعلم.
The Sheikh says the most authentic is that you would not put your hands back on your chest once again after you come up from ruku' while you are going on your way down to sujood, because in the hadith of Wa'il ibn Hujr, which we were discussing with you, it's sanad yesterday with Sheikh Salim al-Hilali and all of the chains and how it came together. That hadith, which is mufassal, which is explanatory, gives you all of the different positions of the salah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It mentions that the Rasul had his hands on his chest and how he had them before ruku', and it does not say that he put them there after he came up from the ruku'. So therefore, this is an explanatory hadith. The second سؤال الثاني كان يسأل أن يجوز قراءة الفاتحة وحدها في الركعة الأولى أو الثانية.
يجوز لكن خالف للسنة.
The salah is considered sahiha. The question is, can you recite just fatiha in the first or second rak'ah? The sheikh says, yes, it is permitted, but your salah is missing some of the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the salah is not invalid. Now. Either way would be considered acceptable, as long as you raise the ruku'. Now. In the same way. طيب. يسأل السؤال الأول يقول هنا ربنا ولك الحمد حمدا كثيرا لماذا أسقطت اللهم لك الحمد
اللهم
ربنا
يجوز
either way, whether you say اللهم لك الحمد or ولك الحمد, either way is permitted. As for your first question, when you are in your rising from your ruku'a, either way it would be permitted. Now, as for your second question, which is
يسأل يقول هل سنة تحية المسجد لو جئت مثلا لصلاة الظهر وأنها تصلي السنة قبل الظهر هل تعد سنة تحية المسجد هي سنة صلاة الظهر؟
المقصود من تحية المسجد أن تصلي قبل الجلوس, فإذا صليت أي صلاة قبل أن تجلس سواء كانت سنة قبلية أم سنة وضوء أم كانت الصلاة المفروضة التي جئت إلى المسجد وهي قائمة, فإن ذلك كله أو بعضه أيا من مسقط لتحية المسجد لأن المقصود منها الصلاة.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying, the question is, if I come to the masjid and I'm going to pray the salah and I'm going to pray the sunnah of that prayer, meaning dhuhr, you pray two rak'at before dhuhr. Those two rak'at, if I have just entered the masjid, can it be counted as tahiyyatul masjid and the sunnah of the prayer? The Sheikh, hafidhahullah, he says that the sunnah, or the sunnah of tahiyyatul masjid, greeting the masjid with a two rak'at prayer, it is meant that you, what it's meant for is that you pray before sitting down. So any time or any prayer that you pray that is before sitting down, when you enter the masjid, it is considered tahiyyatul masjid. So you'd be given, so you would have fulfilled that obligation. I have another question for the Shaykh, inshallah. This will be the final question. كثير من الإخوة, many of the brothers had asked me this question. عن الغسل. إذا اغتسل رجل, هل يعد الغسل وضوءا؟
سئل ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما عن الوضوء بعد الغسل, أيتوضأ الرجل؟ فقال رضي الله عنه, وأي وضوء أبلغ من الغسل, وأي وضوء أبلغ من الغسل. فدل هذا على أن الوضوء مغن عن الغسل, والله أعلم.
نعم, هو
if you could wait 10 more minutes, inshallah. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu had asked the same question that I asked the Shaykh, that you have been many of you have asked, which is ghusl sufficient, that meaning that you do not have to make wudu after? If I go and make ghusl, do I have to make wudu after, or do I have to make my wudu in the ghusl, or isn't it just enough that the water has touched all parts of my body? The Shaykh says, Abdullah ibn Umar was asked the same question, and he said, how can, what is greater wudu than to wash your whole body? What is greater in wudu to wash your whole body? So therefore, the ghusl, it is sufficient. You would not have to make wudu after. And I mentioned to the Shaykh, should the person be having the intention that he is making the ghusl with the intention of wudu as well? And the Shaykh says, yes, we have mentioned before and we continue to mention that the niyyah, it is essential. Na'am. Yes, but even if you do not make the sunnah way of making the wudu, if you have covered your body with water and all the water has fulfilled your body. The Shaykh mentioned that some people, they forget to wash out their mouth and to blow their nose when they are making ghusl. They think it's only part of